I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things.
Streaming Things.
The boys are back from the war and we're streaming things now. We're going to be covering Lost. That's what we're doing right now. Pay attention. Sit down. Unless you're running on the treadmill or something. That's dangerous. Don't do that. This is part two. The pilot part two. Mm-hmm. Which did air, if I'm correct, Steve, back in the day. Separate weeks, right?
It did.
Has anybody else ever done this? Just had the balls to be like, this is still the pilot, but we split it up.
That requires further research, but I would assume so.
I mean, this is the first time that I've experienced a pilot being split into two episodes.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I mean, we can talk about it in overall thoughts. I felt like both were very different in terms of like just the vibe that they kind of presented.
Well, the other one was a lot more like, we're in a thing, the stuff's happening, there's some stakes at hand. And then this episode was much more, here are the players.
Yeah.
We've waved our arms on the side of the highway and you have pulled over and now we're introducing ourselves to you. Hello, sir. I would like a ride, please.
What a lovely metaphor.
That is, it's very exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. I love it.
But yeah. I guess to constitute like still calling this a pilot episode. I don't know.
Maybe it's a business technicality because remember this is TV. And so the pilot was filmed as proof of concept back. Like they're still called pilots, but that's not really how they are anymore. So maybe it's just a technicality. Like these are both of the ones that we filmed to present to ABC.
Like a criteria of a pilot has to be these things. And if I guess this episode fell into that category, maybe.
Maybe. Or maybe they just had them both to present to the studio as like proof of what the show was going to be like before it got greenlit completely. But if you don't know, we're covering all of Lost season one. Steve has seen the show before. He's a big fan.
Boy, howdy, have I.
Madison and I have not. So this is our first time through. And that's the dynamic that we're going in with. Steve is very good. I've read some of the Discord comments. They were proud of you for not revealing anything with your face.
Oh, for poker facing?
Poker facing when we have our
big
theories.
Poker facing.
And the Discord's been great about not spoiling extra stuff in the discussion as well. So, pretty excited about this moving forward. If this show does well, we'll continue with seasons two and beyond. Who knows?
But so if you want more coverage, tell everybody you know about the show so that we can continue doing Lost if you want us to.
We need Lost to be a success. Mm-hmm. So Madison, before we get in, and for new listeners, we do a play-by-play full recap of each episode. And we've got some segments at the end. We'll do what we call Beach Please.
Beach Please.
And Steve takes that over with some extra trivia and tidbits about the episode. Then we've got Mile High Club moments, where we'll talk about our three favorite moments of the episode. And then we'll go into a segment we call Passenger Princess, which is our Streamy Award for the favorite performance of the episode. We'll each give our nomination for that. And then finally, we'll cap it all off with Lost and Found, where we kind of recap and enumerate, keep a tab upon all of the mysteries that have been either solved or yet to be solved that are going on in the show. So that's what we're going to be doing throughout. But Madison, I want to touch base with you. Mm-hmm. We've seen the first episode. We've seen the second episode.
We have.
How are you feeling about Lost so far? Are you dreading, regretting joining us on this 25 episode journey?
Man.
Or are you like, actually, I fucking like this show.
So prior to starting the show, I knew what Lost was only through like limited. Yeah. Like I would hear people reference Lost. But I really didn't have a clear context of what it was. And I have to say, I went into this with some idea of what it was or what I was to expect. And it has completely expunged all of my thoughts and opinions. Like, we are so far away from what I thought this show was going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's only the second episode. So to go into my overall thoughts with episode two in particular, I mean, I'm hooked in. I'm very enticed by these characters. I feel like we're already getting into some twist and turn territory, especially with how they presented some of the characters in episode one to where we are learning about them in episode two. I'm very excited to keep watching. I'm looking forward to episode three very much.
Yeah. Steve, I mean, it's kind of tough, I guess, for you to answer these kinds of questions. Because you've seen the show in its entirety.
Yeah.
But I guess overall, what did you think about Pilot Part 2?
Pilot Part 2 is great. Kind of like how I mentioned before, this is sort of the first episode that really kind of brings you in and shows you the cast at large. You get a lot more moments with the secondary cast and not just Jack, not just Kate, mm-hmm. even though they're there. But you get to spend some time a little bit with Hurley. You get to introduce ourselves to Sawyer, to Saeed, and Saeed's awesome. You get a little Shannon and Boone peppered in there.
Michael,
you get some. I love Michael in this episode. This kind of is sort of the first time I feel like you really get an understanding of what this show is normally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the first time that I think the flashbacks are used in the way that they're used going forward. They're not quite there, but they're getting there. The whole point we're revealing things about the characters via flashback that we don't necessarily know in the modern timeline. I think Pilot Part 2 is great. I love it a lot. I almost like it more than the first one. The first one's great because it shocks you. It rattles you. It grabs you by the collar and shakes you and screams in your face like, this is new. This is different. Pay attention. And then once that wears off, you're like, okay, what else is this show? And it's these characters.
Yeah.
If this show is about anything, it's about the characters. And they're great characters and I love them.
Yes, I actually would say that without a doubt, Part 2 is better than Part 1 for me. Because watching the first episode, I was approaching it with like, this is what the fans of the show want. They want me to watch Lost. I'm dancing in my cage, you know.
Dance monkey.
Everybody
waving my hands around.
They want me to throw poo and talk about Lost, and I paid good money for it, right? And I was like, I'll do it, you know, and like, oh, this isn't going to be that bad. Whereas in this episode, I was like, holy shit, I actually really want to watch this show now. In fact, it's paining me to stop because I have to watch each episode closer to when we record so that I have better thoughts about it. I wanted to binge it, you know, and I was in the middle of watching a ton of stuff for this week's episodes last night. And I wanted to keep going with Lost. Like you said, there's so much nuance to these characters and I want to know more so badly. Mm-hmm. In fact, I can pinpoint the moment where I fell in love with the show already. And it was when Michael was talking to his son, Walt, and Walt's reading a comic book that he found. And it's in Spanish because he found it on the plane. It's not his. And his dad, Michael, looks at him and says, do you read Spanish? And I thought, that's fucking dumb. What a weird thing. Like, that's bad dialogue. How would he not know his son reads Spanish or not, right? Mm-hmm. 10 minutes later, we find out a ton about Walt and the fact that his dad is estranged. And it's actually fucking genius offhand comment. He doesn't know his son that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It seems like a dumb thing, but I was like, oh, I'm in. Like, this is good writing, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm really excited to keep going. These characters are awesome.
Should we do a check-in real quick? Like, who, like, because I know last week we're like, who's your favorite character just based off the first episode? Has that changed?
Who did I say?
I don't remember who you said. I think you said Charlie last week, Madison. I don't know if you...
No, I think...
I said Charlie. I think
Chris
said
Charlie.
Charlie.
And you said Kate. Well,
are we talking about like our passenger princess performances or just like our favorite characters? No, just favorite character
in general.
I think I said Kate was mine.
Okay. Does that remain?
It's hard. I honestly like after... Because like you said, this was a very character introductory episode. So I feel like we got a decent amount of... a lot of people. And I'm one of those people. I'm like, I'm indecisive on who, like, what way do I want to go? Do I want to go like more villainy? Like, is that my favorite? Or do I want to go like more mysterious? Like who has the most interesting like background or, you know, or do I pick Jack who's the hero? So I'm still kind of figuring that out right now.
Okay.
But who is yours? Has yours changed or is it still the orange peel guy?
He's just my favorite character.
He's got so much more context.
So I have context. So I'm curious to see like how they're progressing to you guys. I think if I was watching this with brand new eyes, my favorite character would probably be like Charlie or Saeed still.
Mm. Yeah. Because
Charlie's funny. Saeed's just awesome.
I do love Charlie. Hurley.
Hurley's great. I was going to say Hurley has had, I don't know, to me, he seems the most relatable of all of these characters.
Of all the crazy shit's happening, you can always count on Charlie to be like, this is what a normal person would say.
Yeah.
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 I don't do so good with blood, man.
But I also feel like the moments he has had, the scenes he's had have been very, I don't know, endearing, very comforting. You know, he's not a troublemaker. He's not a, you know. He's very good with the flow, assisting when he can. Yeah. So he seems like a very reliable character in these scenarios.
He's also honest.
Yeah.
But let's dive right in. Okay. We get the spooky intro. I don't think we got that the first time. It's kind of like this. It's the Lost title kind of. Yeah. Kind of careening.
Very 2004.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost like 60s. So I was like, oh, I'm in.
That's why when we were like, do we get a theme like song Twilight for this, Zone. For our coverage of Lost? I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Just you playing a theremin. Everybody tunes out.
No, literally just the three of us going.
and it's back to our fellowship. They're returning from the pilot or the plane wreckage. They're trying to get the transceiver working. And Kate asks Charlie what he was doing in the bathroom. And he was like, I was puking. I was taking a shit.
clearly, I was getting sick.
I got sick. And then
I'm a coward.
Yeah.
As we said.
He's more comfortable with that than, you know, addict, right?
Which, like, that plane was on a very big horizontal shift. That motherfucker was probably... I don't know how he was in that bathroom. Yeah,
you can't puke in that gravity.
No.
And then it's hard to use the bathroom on planes anyway.
Yeah. But
the flashback to Charlie's plane ride, and he's really rude to Aubrey Plaza from Wish.
What?
Who is the flight attendant?
What? That wasn't Aubrey Plaza.
No, it's her from Wish.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like a knockoff.
Okay,
version.
I see what you're saying.
I'm being rude for Wish.com. Comedy.
How dare
Wish.com, not like...
Sorry, didn't mean to ruin the bit.
Wish starring Audrey Plaza.
Yeah, Wish.com.
No, it's from Audrey Plaza as ordered on Wish.com.
Well, no, you said that, and I was like, that wasn't Audrey Plaza.
I've never seen Wish.
Ignore me.
I wish it was. This is a weird scene. Like, it's a great scene. It gives us a lot on Charlie, but it didn't track for me. Like, he's just, like, kind of rude to the flight attendant, and she just immediately employs the help of all the other flight attendants. This guy's being slightly rude. Chase him down. And I'm like, what kind of flight is this?
Well, I think she can pick up on the fact that he's probably...
going through withdrawal of some kind. Uh-huh. That's what I interpreted as. Mm-hmm. She was kind of recognizing signs of withdrawal.
Just let him get his stuff.
Or
he'll
just,
be
like,
fine.
They probably get like a reward if you turn someone.
It's like a reward.
Well, I was going to say, she's probably like, this dude probably has some contraband that he's not supposed to have.
Yeah.
You know, and he seems suspicious enough. He's acting weird. I'm sure she wanted them to.
He keeps tapping his ring finger on the armrest. It's really annoying.
It is really annoying.
Let's get him. And
maybe this is like the inner social misfit in me. You know, somebody who used to be a Charlie. But I don't know how to explain this without being an asshole, but it's like, when people go above and beyond at their job to follow the rules, it's kind of annoying, right? It's like, like if somebody tackles you for stealing soda at a restaurant when you asked for a water cup, you know what I mean? That's like, it's kind of a betrayal of the class system. Like, you know, like, hey, I know you work here, but we're on the same team, you know, sure. kind of thing. And that's the vibe I was getting from the flight attendant. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like
just being a narc.
You're going above and beyond right now, you know. But anyway, so she chases him into the bathroom.
But Chris, we live in a society.
We do. He's running. This is the biggest plane ever.
Yeah. The fuck?
I mean, I'm sure they exist. I've never been on an international flight, but it's like, wow.
He went through like three first class.
Yeah, there's like.
I was like, what's going on?
There's like wings to this plane.
It's two stories. What the heck?
Is this an Airbus?
Right.
He's got drugs in his Vans. And we all had a pair of those checkered Vans, right? I know I do.
I wish I did. I wish I was that cool.
He gets a little nummy. And accidentally drops it in the toilet. He's got the biggest bag of fucking heroin ever. But yeah, he's like, a rock star,
that,
I guess.
How did that not get through? How did that get through security?
Yeah, this is post 9/11 too. So,
well, that was something I was going to ask later. Is it set post 9/11?
Or
is
I think so because of the comments of the racist guy to Saeed.
Yeah, it's post 9/11.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he drops it in the toilet. And I guess he's a rock star, so it makes sense he would have a few hundred dollars of heroin, I guess. And I guess that's heroin because it's brown. It looks like brown sugar.
Yeah, it's heroin.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
And right as he drops his heroin in the toilet, all hell breaks loose. He like flies up and hits the ceiling. So that's when the plane starts
crashing.
He's
one of those guys who didn't buckle in.
He wasn't even slightly buckled in. But I guess he steals somebody's seat.
Of all the places to like fly up in the air and get hit in an airplane, that's already a bad enough situation, but you're in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Oh man.
At least he just had the heroin.
Yeah, he didn't
like, he got it in.
He didn't pinch one off before that happened. That would have been a way different story.
Right.
The worst. And then he just finds an empty seat, sits down and takes his oxygen. And we cut back to the present day on the island. Shannon, I think that's her name, is tanning.
Yep.
Everybody else is working to clear the wreckage and
I loved that juxtaposition of like the camera panning across her like very beautiful body. And then there's just like this wreckage of a plane crash in the background. Like she's couldn't be bothered by what is happening.
Yeah. It's so discordant with what's going on. Mm-hmm. And again, for the third time, I think in two episodes, she protests who we find out in this scene is her brother. They're coming,
which I'm sorry.
You weren't getting brother vibes.
No.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be weird.
I literally was like, they're fucking like, I don't know if you've seen, have you guys seen those things on Instagram or maybe it's TikTok where it's like people see a picture of a couple and you have to guess if they're dating or if they're siblings.
No. I have not seen
sounds
this.
Like a fun game.
It can be fun, but most of the time you look at this photo and you're like, oh, they're definitely a couple by the way that, you know, they're touching each other, by the way they're looking at each other, and then they're siblings. That's kind of how I felt, like the little, I was like, it's her brother.
Is this what they call the ick?
I mean, to some degree, but I just was like, I feel like they didn't paint that picture as clear as they could.
Or maybe
have.
They did. We don't know.
Maybe. But I will say after seeing them interact the way that they do during that scene, I was like, OK, yeah, I can see them being brother and sister. But episode one, I was like, they're boyfriend. Girlfriend.
Well, there's a character, I think, is it? Rosa, there's a character later on in the episode that's like, oh, is that your boyfriend? Nope, that's my brother Boone.
Yeah, that's how we find
that's
out,
Claire.
I think.
Claire says it, I think.
Mm. It's the Preggers, right?
Yeah.
Claire.
Do we have her name? I don't think we do, guys.
I don't think we do. Sorry.
Cheaters.
Pregger woman.
I don't like calling her Preggers either. That's all I got. It's her most identifying feature right now. It's been a plot point for her character.
You could call her the Australian woman.
No. Because there's a lot of those because they were flying to Sydney.
Or the receiver.
But she's the only Australian person seemingly to have survived this flight.
Seemingly. Mm. They're over there being real quiet right now, which is un-Australian-like.
All right, everybody. We're not going to associate with them. You all come over here. We're going to survive on our side of the island, and they can survive over there.
We sacrifice Claire over there because her baby's an American.
They don't even know the rules of rugby. All right, we're not going to talk to them.
Crikey.
Crikey, mate.
Nose cone.
They go up to Jack when he's doing the surgery. That's not a knife. It's the only thing I can say. But yes, we find out they're brothers. They have a very sibling-like argument. And then Claire, apparently it's her name, asks about their relationship, right? But she talks about how she hasn't felt the baby move since the crash, since the day before. And that's upsetting
to her. Yeah, girly, you landed on your stomach when you jumped.
Also, you're in a plane crash.
Yeah, you went through some pretty traumatic stuff.
Not good for
That's
the baby.
That's terrible. Yeah. No. Can't be good.
And we cut to Jin and Sun, and they are still ostracizing themselves, mostly because of Jin's demands. And she looks really resentful of him in the way this shot opens. She's just kind of staring at him like, I fucking hate you. And then Michael comes looking for his son, and he's trying to talk to them, but they apparently don't speak English, or they speak very little. And she responds in Korean very earnestly, and he's just like, okay. I'm just going to leave.
But it's interesting. She like looks at her husband for this sense of permission, I guess.
Yes.
Before she speaks to Michael, which to me, the husband has been very weird from the beginning. So part of me, I'm theorizing that they do speak English and he's like telling them that we're not going to, we're not going to speak English because we want them to like leave us alone.
Right.
But very the husband seems very territorial over the wife, very controlling.
Yeah. And there's this moment where she seems to earnestly wants to help Michael in the moment. And Jin uses this moment to kind of chastise her and say, hey, button up your top button. Cause it's hot out. She has a button undone.
She's exposing her collarbone.
Don't talk to that other man with your collarbone exposed. You hussy.
Yeah.
You whore.
And she buttons it up, and Michael kind of assesses. He doesn't speak the language, but he's like, ooh. I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What a douche. Yeah. I think there's an interesting arc ahead for Jin's character, because there's some moments of humanity, even in this episode, this early on. Yeah. He's obviously extremely toxic to his wife. And I can't speak to, you know, I don't know, maybe they're from North Korea. I don't know. But it's just like, so it could be some cultural things there that I'm maybe a little bit too judgy on. But I do like my humanity free to roam. I do like as many buttons as you want unbuttoned possible without judgment, you know. So, but there's a moment later that's actually really funny with Jen. And it's like I said, this so far, I'm really impressed with the writing. I can't wait to get there. But Michael's still looking for Walt, who's lost. And then as soon as the husband tells her to button her top button, he runs. Walt is out looking for Vincent, the dog that has presumably been eaten by one of the dinosaurs. That's all I can guess at this point. And then he finds handcuffs. And I thought the moment was a little over dramatic because they're just handcuffs, you know, could have been somebody's kinky stuff from their suitcase. But the camera really wanted you to be like, oh my God.
I thought it was going to be a dead body or something.
Yeah, right?
Like, a more traumatic
it's
thing.
It's worse than a dead body.
It's cops.
It's cuffs. It's cops.
God, even on the island. No, but in my notes, I have who's 50 Shades of Grey in it on the beach right now?
Why is that spooky? Because the music, everything was kind of discordant. But Michael chastises
him. There's a criminal on the beach, you guys.
Dun, dun, dun.
They're in handcuffs, and now they're not. And it could be anybody.
Could be.
It could be. It could be Vincent.
Hurley.
Walt's like, oh, they're in my handcuffs. He's the criminal.
And Michael chastises him. I told you to stay on the beach. And he's like, hey, I was looking for Vincent. And then it's Michael's reaction to the handcuffs that it was like, that's a little silly.
Yeah, he looks around.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, shit.
We cut to Saeed, who's in a fist fight with somebody. And it's the smoky guy, the racist dude, as I call him. Mm-hmm. And then there's a really funny moment. I thought this was silly. And again, this is before where I really got sucked into all these characters. So Saeed and the redneck are fighting, right? And it's a big tussle. We don't know why yet. It's very dramatic. Mm-hmm. Everybody starts like Jack and everybody starts to show up like, whoa, what's going on? But right in the middle of the chaos and at the most inappropriate time imaginable, Michael goes, I found handcuffs. And I was like, fucking why? Give it a beat, bro.
Like, see, you thought that
we
was funny?
We can use them.
I thought it was funny when Kate literally just screams, stop.
Yeah, she's got that power.
Yeah, and I just was like, LOL, okay. We'll stop now.
Everybody shush.
You shut up.
You know how it is when you get chastised, though. You're like, okay. No. I found handcuffs. It's so random. Like if I was just punching Steve, he's punching me.
What?
And Madison runs in and goes, the blue crayons are my favorite. Like, I guess that would stop.
I mean, honestly, if that happened, I would stop and be like, wait, the blue ones?
The blue? No, you're wrong.
Hold on, Chris. What is this we're talking about? Blue?
I feel like you have one of those like 72 crayon boxes and your favorite's like cerulean.
Yeah, it's Colonial Puce. Come on. Everyone loves colonial puce.
Is it a real color?
It is. It's like a green.
Colonial. Okay. Do you color a lot?
No. I just, years ago, I found that name of a color and thought it was the funniest color
so
name
every
ever.
Every crayon box you would find, you would open it and try and find that crayon.
The colonial puce.
Where's colonial puce?
Let's start a band and call it colonial puce.
That's a good name. Isn't for it? A band. TM it. Trademark.
Let's get two tickets to colonial puce. I'm in the pit.
Okay, open up the pit.
But some people are not going to be cut of pit cloth, and they won't. They'll be in the balcony at Colonial Puce.
Oh, maybe Colonial Puce is like a burgundy. Oh, maybe that's wrong.
You could let us astray.
More red?
Yeah.
Crimson?
You're cut off, bud.
I'm so sorry.
But well, anyway.
You guys stopped fighting, so it worked.
It worked. We stopped talking about Lost. Exactly. It was that effective of a closer.
Same there. But yeah, I thought it was bold of them to be so honest about the treatment of Saeed.
Yeah.
And this is post 9/11. He's basically started a fist fight with Saeed because he's a brown person, right? Mm-hmm. Essentially. And like, hey, you caused the plane to crash. And the guy sitting next to you is dead. Oh, that's real suspicious. Like,
yeah,
three quarters of the plane's dead. What the fuck are you talking about?
And then they start tying in the handcuffs portion. The redneck guy does and saying, yeah. Well, you were in the back. You know, you never got up once. You know, your hands were hidden, whatever. And I actually took a moment to like kind of not deep dive into this scene, but I feel like because of the context of the scene at the time that it came out, like it came out in 2004, you know, 9/11, you know, only 3 years prior, like it's still a pretty major fresh wound on our country at this point to kind of like
major.
Dive. Yeah. And so I feel like I think you can assess the scene on a lot of levels, like the dialogue used, like they called Josh Holloway's character redneck, like what is the meaning behind the terminology used there, and you know, just kind of the context of like when this show came out, and you know, Saeed's character, like I feel like you could have a full class discussion on this scene alone based off of that, and I think it really just boils down to really good writing for it, but I wanted to acknowledge that because I think this scene in particular was very, I'm curious, you know, was there any hesitation to put this scene in the show because of the heavy context?
How raw
that
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really excited by the inclusion of this scene on here. And then later we find out Saeed's an Iraqi soldier,
yeah,
which is even more. I mean, this is the height of our tension,
right?
The second time with Iraq. And I mean, I was like, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have any context for how the show was received at that time. And again, but this is a pilot, you know? So
I was
like,
people
cool.
Love this show.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, the fight kind of, after we find out what's going on, everything kind of simmers down a little bit, right? And then he says, my transceiver's broke. Anybody help with the transceiver? And it's the guy that the redneck is being mean to that knows how to fix the transceiver. Saeed knows how to fix it, right? And then he calls my dude Lardo because he's just being an asshole to everybody. That's what he says to Hurley, the redneck guy. And then Saeed needs time to fix the radio. I think that he just looks at it and he's like, I think the battery's fine. I can smell that the battery's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna have to it's lithium ion, I think. Yes. But I'm gonna need a few minutes to open this baby up and see what's going on.
Interestingly enough, Jack does not tell Boone about the monsters. So only Jack, Kate, and Charlie know like there's a monster out there that ate the pilot and
yeah.
Kind of. I thought that, and I don't mean to jump around, but I'm glad you say that because they don't tell anybody about that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And later, when Kate says she has to go for a hike and Jack's busy doing the surgery, so he can't go, and he's really scared for her, she starts like letting all these people join her on what she knows and is the only one that knows is an incredibly dangerous mission until Charlie joins. And I thought that was really weird that he was willing so casually to go back in there.
I think he's high.
He's high. Sure. I want to go for a walk.
And Shannon's going. So he's like, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Sure. But I was like, oh, that's really kind of dark of her to not warn them. Right. But then after the incident, somebody casually mentions, oh, is this what killed the pilot?
Says that.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so they did tell everybody. Yeah. I'm confused.
Well, I mean, in hindsight, now that we do know some things about Kate, is that her play? Like to have all these people around her with this.
Oh, you think she might be a meanie?
Well, that's what I mean. Like we're reaching a certain level of we don't know these people very well. In contrast to the first episode where, you know, Kate seemed pretty innocent.
She sewed drapes, guys.
Yes. Yeah. So she's like a villain, you think? You think it's possible?
Potentially. I mean, I wouldn't.
You know how there's a rule in movies where nobody can have an iPhone if they turn out to be a villain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's like a thing, like contractually.
Is it a Nokia in this show?
Well, I think
those the same sick bastards.
Or a BlackBerry?
She doesn't have the body of a villain. I don't think that's possible.
Out.
You hit out. Your face. I
bonk.
Hate
get out.
Bonk.
Yeah, bonk. Horny jail. Get
it's
out.
Contractually. Not okay. It's possible. I think there's more. We'll get to that in a second.
But in terms of what you mean by how the fuck did Boone her motives find for, out? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess she must have told him. Or maybe Charlie was like loose lips. He said, by the way, there's a crazy fucking dinosaur.
I was on
out
board
there.
Until Boone said that. And I was like, well, so they know? You know?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a mistake. Yeah.
Okay. So where are we at? They're going off. It's not the hike yet, actually. We're talking about when Hurley goes to Saeed.
Hurley joins Saeed, yeah. And they're both kind of like,
he's like, what a jackass.
Bonding over how much of a jackass the redneck guy is. And so it's kind of a fun conversation because he's like, hey, man, Hurley says to Saeed, I think you're okay. And Saeed, yeah. I think you're okay, too. And they shake on it. And Hurley asks him, you know, how do you know about all this, you know, electrical engineering stuff? And he's like, well, I was in military communications. I fought in the Gulf War. And he's like, oh, no way, dude. My friend was in the... He fought in the Gulf War. He was in the 72nd Airborne or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
What division were you in? He's like, I was in the Republican Guard. Yeah. And Hurley's like,
yikes.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how to take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the ocean. Woo. Oh, my God. Woo. Can you imagine? Of all the places to be.
He said, is that Kate over there in the ocean?
Yeah.
Hey, let me just watch her for a second.
He's going to journey on over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Republican Guard, for those who don't know, is the Iraqi military. Because I had to look it up. I'm not being offensive.
Who fought for Saddam Hussein.
Yes. Saddam Hussein's military specifically. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Kate bathing in the ocean.
Major clickbait for the boys. That's what I call it.
Somber, beautiful music. Because it's like fucking gladiator epic. And it's just like panning up her body. And you know, one of those.
Is that what you were doing while you were watching it?
Maybe that wasn't even in the show. My brain just did that.
Chris, this was a silent scene. I think you're thinking of a completely different
song.
All
we heard were the waves.
You know what I'm talking
crashing
about?
against the sand.
It reminded me of like a L'Oreal commercial. It seemed really out of place. It was like, I wanted her to look at the camera at the end and go, because you're worth it.
L'Oreal.
Or maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Maybe it's Maybelline. I mean, I dug it. Good scene.
I bet you would.
And then Sun walks up.
Says the guy who took it off his top three favorite moments.
Yeah.
No, that was a joke.
Sure. It was a joke after the fact.
Bonk.
Delete. I'm just the only one being honest here. How about that? And then when Sun walks up. And she's like, oh, she seems really surprised at finding Kate nearly in the buff there. She's not even allowed to unbutton her top button, you know? And then she speaks Korean and Kate just like nods. And Sun is really intrigued. Now, I'm curious because, again, I'm an idiot. I frequently get bonked here. But did you feel like Sun... Like there was some sexual tension there or just like I wish I was as free as you...
I don't think it's sapphic related. I think it's more, what's it called? She's idolizing this freedom that Kate has that she does not. And I feel like what Sun was doing was trying to just get her attention because she was like pointing over to like the crash or something else.
Yeah.
So I just interpret it as, oh, she's.
Yeah, like Saeed's got the thing working over there.
Yeah.
He told me to come get you.
Yeah. But I don't think I didn't interpret it as sexual.
Mm. I thought it was projecting potentially.
Mm, really?
Mm.
Maybe.
I think it's definitely a pointed choice to have Sun be the one to tell her like, hey, the thing's fixed. Go over there.
Yeah.
I think that is a because appointed decision.
Her bathing in the ocean openly like that is the complete opposite of her experience because of her husband's control.
And is it this shot or is it? It's a little later on when she unbuttons her shirt again. And
I think like, that's later in the episode.
Okay,
it's later when she like angrily. I think it's when he takes the food from her.
No, I think the ultimate point of this scene is to show the juxtaposition between these two female characters.
Yeah,
and how one of them is clearly, you know, has the freedom to express her body in a way, and then the other one is restricted by this.
But is ironically not supposed to be free at all.
But also another way is that Kate is allowed to be involved and take a leadership role in the party, whereas Son's being kind of her husband's keeping her for like, don't interact with them, don't engage when she clearly wants to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so after that, Kate comes up to Saeed. The radio is working, but not getting a signal. You remember those days, right? No bars. This is pre-LTE.
Oh, this is Tuesday for me, baby.
This is way before 4 and 5G. This was Tuesday for me. And then high ground is needed, much like
Obi-Wan.
Yes. I was going to, I almost said Anakin, and I was like, wow, he's the one that needed it. How do I phrase this joke?
I heard you pause, and let me just step in and just say the name for him. Let me save him the embarrassment.
But no, I love how, you know, Saeed is like, we need to be strategic about using the batteries. I think getting a high ground is the most beneficial like way to use the batteries. And there's just like a pan of Kate's POV watching the fucking mountains as they get like higher.
That's gonna be a long day.
She's like, fuck, shit.
He's like, we gotta get high. And then Charlie popped up like, what?
Right.
Where are we going? I'm there. I'm in.
And then the shrapnel guy is still just sitting there impaled. And I think is it Hurley?
Kate comes up to Jack and tells her that she's going to go on this hike. He's worried about the monster. And she's the one that's kind of like, I thought you said leave the shrapnel in.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was yesterday. I thought we'd be saved by now.
There's so many ifs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that stays in there much longer, he's definitely going to die. But if we take it out, there's a chance if everything goes right, he'll live.
Yeah. If I can stop the bleeding and if I can find some antibiotics and so many.
And if Mercury's in retrograde and
in Gatorade. Yeah.
If it doesn't rain for 72 hours.
Right.
And
if the monster doesn't eat us by then.
Yeah.
I loved all of this scene until like the he cares for Kate so much thing pops up because he's like, OK, I get it. You have to go. Well, listen. And this is his advice. This is his advice.
I also cackled at this.
Listen. OK,
tell me.
Tell me if you run into one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Run.
Okay.
The word.
No shit.
Like, I was like, no shit, mansplainer. The fuck? What?
Here's my advice.
I really wish.
Okay. I really wish it was one of my babes.
Okay, Travis.
The babes. If I were to lose just one of these babes, I don't know what I would do myself.
But I don't know if it's just like they're really forcing the like.
Jack is the protector.
The chemistry of these two characters, I'm sure eventually like forming a romantic relationship. But I'm like, you guys don't know each other at all. And you're expressing this dramatic sense of like worry. Yeah.
I love you.
I've only known you for 48 hours, maybe even less.
I feel like we're really gelling.
Yeah.
Remember that time you sewed up my wound? Yeah, it was yesterday.
Like,
oh, what good times.
Yeah.
What a meet cute.
I just want to see those drapes.
Bonk.
No.
No! She sewed them.
Oh, my gosh. Out.
I would have loved if after he was like, run, it would have just cut to her. And she's like, okay.
She's like, no shit, Sherlock. Duh.
That would have been a great. I would have saved the scene.
Oh, really? I should run and not just stand there like a helpless damsel?
Right. Which... Yeah,
we cut back to Jen and Son, and they have some kind of snacks of some sort.
Snack.
He's like preparing portions.
I think it's ocean.
Huh?
I think it's sea urchin because earlier they showed him like reaching in the ocean.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Grabbed a sea urchin.
Okay.
I also was wondering what it was. Okay.
I didn't know either.
Thank everybody's, you for clearing that up.
Everybody's turning it down. And I'm like, what is it? I thought it was like mandarin oranges. I was like, those are delicious.
It looked like, like
clementines.
The response everyone's giving him is not warranted. Like, everyone's like, no, dude, that looks like shit. I'm not. I'm
hungry. Hurley's like, I'm starving. Hungry.
I'm not that hungry. It looks like Nothing.
You love seafood, though.
I do love seafood. Adore.
He got the Jerry Weintraub's clam show in L.A.
You goddamn right. I got Jerry Weintraub's clam show.
I mean,
show.
I do enjoy seafood as well, but, like, I don't know if picking it straight off the beach and
raw.
Eating it.
What's a sea urchin? What's a sea urchin?
Like, there's just spindly things that'll stab you on the coral?
Yeah, they're spindly.
Those are scary.
It hisses at you.
Sea Does urchin. It hiss?
No.
I'm out of the ocean.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely what he was handing him.
Yeah.
He just pulled up a picture of sea urchin prepared.
Oh,
and it's all orangey like that.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh.
You see it?
Oh, no, you switched pictures to one with like a fried egg in
whoops.
It.
Whoops. There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it right there, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to get the camera so the YouTube people can see it.
So she tries to get a snack. She tries to grab one of the sea urchins, and he like slaps her hand. And I guess his whole plan is to like... Like, he thinks he's on the show Survivor, and he's trying to form an alliance.
He's trying to get an alliance.
Yeah. He's like, we don't want to be voted off this island. No, you can't eat this. Because it goes against his, like, you know, isolated mentality. So the husband takes the food to Hurley, and Hurley's hilarious. He's like, what's that, man? No, I don't want that at all.
Bro. Big ill, bro.
Nah.
Big ill.
I'm starving, but not that hungry.
Right.
He's very offensive, right? And then this is when we get the scene where Walt's reading the comic book, except that it's in Spanish. Wait.
This is the part where she unbuttons her shirt.
Yeah. When he walks away.
Yeah, she buttons the top button.
Yeah, he walks
back.
Away to like give the food to everybody. And she's like, fuck you.
I'm a collarbone out. Hope somebody sees it. I'm scandalous right now. And then we find out that, you know, we get little hints that Michael's been estranged from Walt in this scene. But also he says the most heinous thing you could ever say to a little boy who's just lost his dog.
Yeah.
I'll get you another dog when we get home.
Hey, man, guess what?
Fuck you.
Get ready. We're getting another dog when we get home. And because I don't have any relationship with the dog you had. So mm-hmm. It means nothing to me. Oh, he's mad at me now.
Why is he so mad? I told him I'd get him another dog.
Yeah, if something happened to Pippin and then the next day someone's like, hey, guess what, buddy? We're going to get another dog. Forget about Pippin. I'm like, I fucking hate you.
Right. That's a Pippin terrible thing to say.
Pippin the dog is the best. Yeah. He will live forever.
Like, I had a childhood dog. I don't think I'll ever have another dog again. And my cat that I have currently, once, you know, 20 years from now, hopefully she lives forever.
Maybe never. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can never get another cat after her.
At least
very
the
attached.
Day of, nobody's going to say that because they're not idiots.
No.
And then we cut to Charlie, who ran off to do some more heroin. Mm-hmm. And that's dopey so dope. Much heroin in that bag. Good for him because he's going to be stuck on the island for a while. But I always like when TV writers, you know, as an addict, portray scenes in the most non-druggy way possible. Like they're just dumping it in their fucking hand and just like, rough snorting it. Like, no, it's you have to be they're very meticulous. You don't want to waste any of it. And that guy is just, let me shove some of this brown sugar at my face and hopefully some gets in. No, he'd be laying that on a log that he'd been sanding all day. It's my heroin log.
Stay away from it.
I've been carved two divots in the back so it fits on my legs. You know?
Jeez.
No?
Apparently the studio was like, you can't show him doing drugs. So they never actually show
it's like
him
a network thing.
Ingesting it, yeah.
Gotcha. Even, like, on the plane, he does a nummy. Mm-hmm. You don't do nummies of heroin.
It's very, very bitter. I was wondering what kind of drugs it was because he was eating it in the plane and then now he's...
Yeah. I mean, he would lick it to make sure he got every crumb.
Yeah.
But it's not like it doesn't make your gums numb or anything like Coke does. It's
right.
Just really bitter. And then Jack sends Hurley to go look for antibiotics, anything that ends in
myosin or psyllin.
Yeah. Psyllin for sure. I knew that one. And then Charlie
Cillin Murphy.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie's high. And then we cut to Shannon, who's just looking at a dead body crying. Right. And her brother comes up to her. Boone comes up to him and is like, what's going on with you? I was mean to him. And this is where he becomes more brotherly in your estimation. Right, Madison. He's like, you're being worthless. Right. We all been doing shit. We're helping. You're just sitting here staring at bodies. Right. We've all been through traumatic shit. We got stuff to do. He's got a point because she's been really obstinately useless up to this point. Mm-hmm. But I also felt for her because there's a fucking body right there.
He lacks some tact because this is the first time she's sort of opened herself up to actually realizing what she's gone through. Like before, she's always been like, everything's fine. They're coming to get us. I'm going to tan. And this is the first time she's like looking at a dead person like, oh, shit happened. Like, yeah. I went through a thing.
I agree with Madison, though. I just had flashbacks of all their interactions from the first episode. Like up to now, he's been like overly patient with her rudeness and like unwillingness to help. And whereas a brother, I feel like would have been like, get up, you twat, you know?
Yeah.
But he was just like, oh, okay. Take your time.
Which is why I was like, oh, they're like a new, my first impression was they're a newly like established couple.
Yeah.
That are kind of, you know, in their young 20s,
they're
whatever.
They're not farting in front of each
like
other
she
yet.
Exactly. She used to date his best friend, and now they've been together for a couple of months. They're taking their first big trip, and he's been coveting her for years.
But
and
so again, he wants to tread softly. I feel like the dynamic would have been, this would have been a more prominent issue in the first episode.
Yeah, he would have jumped this gun sooner, or at least now it makes it kind of weird. Like, why are you being so mean all of a sudden?
Right.
But I liked it, you know, needed to be said.
Yeah.
But then Shannon says angrily that she's going to go with Kate and Saeed on the hike, right? And then Charlie's going to go too. I'm definitely going because Shannon's going. And I put, is Kate not going to tell them the danger? Because this is a big point.
Is
for
he
me.
Going because he's attracted to Shannon? Is that clear?
I think he's high and bored and sure. He already knows Kate the best. But also, I think the scene was meant to play like Shannon's an attractive woman. Mm, and he was okay. Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go in. Wherever you go.
Trying to hang out?
I would die for you.
We are, everybody.
Okay, Jack, chill. You're emulating,
I'm dying for you.
You're emulating Jack right now.
I ran over here just so I could tell you.
They should have thrown it in where hey, in the background you just hear Charlie go.
Hey, before you go, Kate.
Well, is he breathing too hard?
Because this is what Jack
this
does.
Is what he does.
Every scene, I'm always just got to run. The pilot's up there. Guys,
pilot's up there. Guys, noticed casually.
If you see something crazy out there, just remember.
Wait. Run. He's always out of breath in every scene.
There's dinosaurs. Dino DNA.
Oh my God. Okay, from here on out, whenever we do Jack impersonations, he's got to be
out of breath. That's spare, awesome.
Spare no expense. I just got to hold on. I'm fucking dizzy from hyperventilating.
Oh,
wow.
Shit. That's so funny.
As they're all getting ready to go on the new fellowship adventure, we get a shot of redneck Siggy guy. He's reading a letter, a handwritten letter, while he's smoking a cigarette.
Smoking one of what has to be very few cigarettes.
Yeah, he's burning through those pretty quickly.
I know,
one would
not
seem.
Salvaging it at all.
And I guess he has a change of heart depending on whatever's written in that letter. He has a change of heart, and he ends up running up to join the fellowship, and Kate's like, oh, you're ready to join Yay. Us now. And he says, I'm a complex guy, sweetheart.
Toots.
Babe.
Not the toots.
Well, you know who else is very complex?
Kate.
Well, other than Kate.
I feel like all of them at this point.
I mean, they're all pretty complex.
Our patrons.
Our patrons are very complex. Oh my gosh. These are our super patrons.
Read them
for
all
the month
like
of
Jack.
June. Hey, everybody.
25 minutes
I just want
later.
To thank everybody who supports us. The show, Streaming Things. God, it's really great that you guys do that. Thank you so much. I want to thank out Chester Copperpot, Sam Valentino, Svento 7. Oh, God. Jaren Bowers, Jenny, A.K. Ashley Ray, Alan Tomlinson. Oh, thank you so much. Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Brera, stand-up guy, Conrad, David Malfara, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. Should probably get that checked out by a doctor. Good thing I am one. Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez. Thank you, Alexis Adler. Thomas Alexander. Thank you, Emmy. Joe Velez. Valerie. Aaron Layton. Thanks for the drapes. John Collins. Thanks, Amanda King. Sun-loving mortal. Oh, the sun's too bright out. Thank you, Andrew Gray. Jadinklage Morgoon. It's a family name. Thank you, Jen Robinson. Kate. Chloe Richardson. Kalisha Reeves. Kiki Newton. Kevin Strother. Jeanette Murphy. Casey McCain. And Enza. I want to sit down.
That's how I feel after reading that list every time anyway. Now, that's either...
That was a good job.
It's either ASMR for the listeners
are really fucking annoying.
Or they turned it off.
Yeah, one or the other. If you would like to become a patron member and get your name read out, you can become so by going to patreon.com/streamingthings, mm-hmm. where you can become a member at a variety of tiers, including the super patrons, where we get the shout out every month.
Mm-hmm.
Every Come episode. On.
Extra content, after hours, bonus episodes. We love you for helping us have this show here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But yeah, then we cut to a montage, and then I wrote, "Dang, they climb."
Yeah, I have written. imagine them trying to come down? Question mark.
Yeah, can you like no water, no food? It's not easy to do what they're doing.
No,
I would be instantly regretting that journey.
Two of them have to help Shannon at all times.
Yeah,
Boone and Saeed are on Shannon duty.
I would be Shannon for sure.
100%, you would be Shannon.
Pull me up, carry me. And then we get that really old school score. I thought it was interesting. I mean, this is again like a, it was like new Hollywood cinema kind of orchestral stuff. I really dug it though. I'm into it. And then we cut to Michael sad. And
Michael
Jack,
sad.
Michael sad. Jack searching for a blade. I'm looking for a blade. And then he didn't know how old his son was. He was like, he's 10, 9, 10. You know, it's one 10. Of those things. Or if he spoke Spanish, I wrote, and I'm starting to pick up that this is intentional and I'm getting excited.
Mm-hmm.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And then Jack's like, oh, what dog? Is it a lab? Oh, yeah, it's over there.
Yeah. I saw it yesterday.
And then he finds like an old school razor, and that's the blade he's going to use for surgery.
Yeah, and Michael's like, son of a bitch, that lab's still alive.
I knew that. Vincent's so crafty. We cut to Orange Peel Scar Guy. He playing a game in the sand. He's got a little backgammon.
He's not playing just any game. It's backgammon.
Is all of these facts about backgammon real?
It's 5,000 years old, my
guy.
Older
than Jesus Christ.
Older than Jesus Christ played backgammon, I bet.
I didn't know backgammon was 5,000 years old.
I didn't either. I don't think I've ever played a game.
I didn't know.
Backgammon.
I don't still played it.
It's like one of those games on your computer that like back in the day it would come with that you're not going to click. You're going to go Minesweeper. You're going to go Solitaire. Nobody
or
clicks
it was
backgammon.
Like your mom bought you the 10, you know,
10
board.
Games in one.
Yeah. And then you only played chess and checkers because that's the only thing you knew how to play. And,
you're
then,
not a sociopath.
And then you saw this board for the backgammon and you're just like, I don't fucking know what this
Can
is.
You imagine you go to your bro's house? You're 10 years old. You're a young Jack Shepherd. You run in his room. Hey, man. Hey, bro. Let's play some games. And your boy whips out backgammon. You're fucking out of there. You know what I mean?
Not even a clue. Not even a Chutes and Ladders. He's coming out with backgammon. So I pulled up backgammon on Wikipedia.
Sure.
And it says, backgammon is a two-player board game played with counters and dice on table boards. It is the most widespread Western member of the large family of table games whose ancestors date back nearly 5,000 years to the region of Mesopotamia and Persia. The earliest record of backgammon itself dates to 17th century England, being descended from 16th century game of Irish.
Because like chess is really old for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Orange Peel Guy is full of shit here, just telling kids nonsense.
I mean, it's one of those things like you're not off, but you're not 100% true with the statement.
Right.
They had dice made from bones. Right. And that's when we find out that Walt lives in Australia with his mom, or he did. His mom died a couple of weeks ago. And I put brilliant.
You're having a bad month.
This is where I fell in love with Orange Peel Guy, because that was his response. Oh, you're having a fucked up month. Which is just like, it's not super sensitive, but it's also, I think the Walt appreciated it. Like, mm-hmm.
You're treating him like an adult.
Just keeping it real. Yeah. And like, yeah. I'm liking this guy because he's chilling, playing a game. He's not, he doesn't have time for the nonsense.
He's just enjoying himself on that beach playing backgammon. He was hoping Walt would come up and play with him.
That was such a good line. I was obsessed with it. No, you're having a bad month. And Walt's like, yeah, actually, no, they mentioned it.
Yeah.
This is pretty fucked up.
Can't find my dog either.
He teaches him about backgammon, and then he says, Walt, do you want to know a secret? And the scene cuts.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't think we know what the secret is, even to this day.
Mm.
And we cut to Jen is now offering the sea urchin to Claire at this point. She pretends to like it. And then she feels the baby move. The sea urchin woke the baby. She's very happy about this. She makes him feel it, which makes him extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And was fun to watch.
I love the range of emotions that that actor plays with Jin in that moment. Because at first he's like, no, I don't. Daniel Day-Kim is the actor. He's like, no, I don't want to. No, please. And then she puts his hand and then she feels the baby moving. And he's like, whoa, there's a baby in there.
Yeah.
Oh my, and then like, he's like, wait, no, I should be touching another woman. Right, weird lady, let me go away.
I don't even touch my wife's stomach.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
Ew. Gross.
Right.
Cooties.
Like, I love this small scene because it's happy. Like, Claire's baby's still alive and she's just a bright ray of sunshine as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get just seeing him go through those stages really brings a lot to like, wow, there's a lot more to this dude we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to see what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we cut to the redneck screaming at Saeed to check the transceiver, right? We're up pretty high now.
We're in a wide open space.
Yeah. And Saeed's like, no, we got to get up higher. Right. And they start arguing. But in the middle of the uproar, we hear a loud thud / roar.
Roar.
And something starts, right, yeah, just like that. It was actually, that was an audio clip from the show.
It was.
Yeah.
And something starts running towards them. Shannon immediately begins screaming her head off.
I should never have come.
And they all run away, except for the hillbilly guy.
I know what my stand my ground laws are.
Honestly, he's pretty fucking brave for what he does.
I mean, I'm gonna be
the guy that says it. And he pulls out a gun, and it's a fucking bear. Not only that, it's a fucking polar bear.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yes, exactly. I would have been less confused if it was a dinosaur. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, I would have been like, oh, it's a fantasy.
Yeah, because you think that there's dinosaurs out there.
But this is a grounded thing where I'm like, okay.
Yeah. What? Is this the same thing that killed the pilot?
No.
No. Mm. Charlie says, this is only a tiny version of what killed the pilot.
It doesn't have a certain gargantuan quality about it that would lend me to believe it killed the
pilot.
That's
true. Yeah. It's just a bear-sized quality.
Yes, even though it is the largest bear.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I just was like, how the fuck did the hillbilly guy get a gun on a plane?
Mm-hmm.
Especially post 9/11.
He was a marshal because he had a badge. I thought it was cool. I took that too.
Yeah.
That tracks. If I see a badge, that's pretty cool.
I get it.
I want it.
We cut back to briefly Jack and Hurley doing surgery, and Hurley's awesome in this scene.
So funny.
You sure he's asleep? Hey, you awake? Oh my God, they're saving us. Oh, yay. Get up.
He's out, yeah.
And he tells him he's not so good around blood, and he tries to reiterate, no, I'm not so good around blood, right?
Even though the dude's already bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I get it. That. Don't want to escalate the situation.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And Jack's just like, don't look at it.
Just don't look.
So Hurley ends up passing out on him. Like, imagine that guy wakes up right then.
Just don't look at it, Hurley. I need to hand me the strips.
I love that when we cut back to the fellowship, the first line is, no, it's a polar bear. Like, they're just standing there. Because I get it, right? And then, where from where? Bear Village? And then they start arguing about the gun. And
well, real quick, Shannon is just like finally makes the connection. Polar bears don't live in the forest. Yeah. And Charlie's like, spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Spot on. It's from Bear Village.
Yeah.
That's where the fuck it's from.
Yeah.
And then they like, hey, how'd you get a gun? And he's like, well, I found it on a marshal. And they're like, oh, you knew it was on the marshal because you're the prisoner. Those handcuffs were yours. And we find out pretty soon that there's a twist to that. But he actually doesn't dispute that. He's just like, oh, I'm the criminal. Well, you're a terrorist. talking to Saeed because he's racist. And at that point, Kate, extremely ballsy, steals the gun, but then doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah, yeah, she's like one of those videos you see on YouTube where it's like an old guy like, this is how you disarm somebody who robs you. Oh, and he like, it's just like a plant and he just lets him take the gun. But Kate legit is that dude. But
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She is the what that dude wants to be. She's just, it's so smooth the way she disarms.
She just kind of grabs it and he's caught slipping because she doesn't even know how to use it.
Yeah,
she just points it at him like, Saeed, what do I do?
Yeah, how do I disengage it?
And they're like, pull the trigger. And she's like, no, I want to take it apart.
And I love how he walks her through it. Like, it is a really tense moment because she doesn't know what she's doing.
That's the worst because she doesn't know how to use a gun. It's very scary that she has it.
Yeah. And you don't want to,
is this all a facade?
Madison thinks Kate is super sus.
I think she is.
I'm not getting that vibe because the flashback that we get leads me to believe she's caught up in some stuff that perhaps she was framed for or misunderstood because the marshal's like, he's really cocky about it.
Yeah.
He's a dick, but he's like, hey, you never know. They might believe your story, you know, which that's the kind of line you say to somebody who is, in fact, innocent. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she was the criminal in handcuffs on the plane being escorted by a marshal back into the States.
Yes.
I kind of jumped ahead, but because we do get as soon as I almost start to respect the hillbilly a little bit for like his bravery and maybe there's more to him, blah, 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 blah. Then he looks at Kate and he's like, I've been with girls like you. I know what you're about. Right. Which is just smarmy, slimy bullshit.
I was just
like, OK, he's trying to be all enemies to lovers here. And I'm like, I'm not digging that.
Oh, God.
No,
I would rather see him fuck Jack for sure.
Honestly, yeah. Or see Kate with literally maybe Saeed. Honestly, I feel like that'd be a good combo.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
Flashback to Kate's plane ride, and this is where we find everything out. She's with
Kate's wild ride.
She's with a douchebag dude who is a shrapnel guy, right?
Yeah, that's
another reveal later. That's why she's been like, is he okay?
We don't know the shrapnel guy is him until they show his face.
When he wakes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that adds a dynamic of her being like, is he okay? Or
right.
Maybe we should just kill him.
I sat next to him. Which is why I think she's a little sussy sus.
Should we pull it out? I think we should pull it out.
I think he should bleed out.
We can put him out of his misery.
Yeah. I think he should bleed out and die.
And then, yeah, he says on the off chance they'll believe your story, there's tension there. And this is before I was taking these notes before I realized she was in cuffs. I'm an idiot. I was like, there's tension here. but then he gets like smacked in the fucking head by some kind of debris. I didn't see what it was.
It's a carry-on luggage bag.
It looked like a hard case, like band equipment.
Charlie's stuff?
I mean, it looks like it was. It looked big and heavy.
And then I put
it was
all
a Samsonite case.
I was like, why is that in the
pack with Samsonite? Your stuff is protected.
I was like, why is that in the carry-on above? But anyway,
it was a different time.
Sure.
And then I put all caps. She's wearing the handcuffs.
Oh my gosh.
And then we cut back to Saeed.
Oh wait, we got an important thing though, because the plane starts going down.
Uh-huh.
And it's a really great scene because the oxygen masks drop and she can't put the oxygen on her face because she's handcuffed. So she's struggling to do that, but she's able to sneak into the marshal's pocket, steal the keys. She takes off the handcuffs, gets the mask on her, but then she gets the oxygen mask for him. And so she's trying to make sure he's okay.
Before the
tail rips off.
Remember last episode when she's like,
I saw everything. Well, now we got to see the tail get ripped off.
Kind of in front of her and to the left, just because it's like sucked out.
Yeah.
Like his whole seat, right?
Yeah. It takes him all just of
bad
it.
Luck.
But I thought it was very telling of her character to put the oxygen on.
Yeah.
The,
not something
on the
somebody
marshal.
Sus would do.
I don't know. I think you can still be nice, but you can still have
that's not the recommended method. You're supposed to put your own oxygen on first.
Well, that's what she did.
She does that.
Before she puts it
on the guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think you're wrong.
You're wrong.
We'll just agree to disagree.
All right.
Okay. I mean, it's there.
She does put it on. I think it comes off, and then she puts it on a second time.
Because the scene ends before the tail rips off. The last shot we get of them two is her putting it on for sure.
No, yeah, you're right in that she puts it on first. It comes off of her while she's putting it on him, and then she puts it back on.
Okay. Ready to walk it back, guys.
You're welcome.
Ready to walk. Because you know I got Hulu on my laptop.
I just watched this like an hour ago.
We got the receipts. It's there.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I made the note like, oh, she's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
She did. There's multitudes to Kate. Multitudes.
Layers.
But then back at the fellowship, Saeed says, we should keep going. I know. Like a, or parfait. Everybody loves parfaits. I thought we were quoting Shrek, guys. You got cowardly on me.
No, that's
a quote from Shrek. Parfaits.
Everybody loves parfaits. It's donkey.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's the same scene.
Why can't we be parfaits? Everybody loves parfaits.
Yeah. Because he's telling him not to use onion as the metaphor.
That was an unfortunate oversight on my part. I'm sorry.
That's why you were looking at me so confused. Okay.
Like parfaits. Okay.
Are we talking about McDonald's?
I was talking about Shrek, you weirdo.
I know.
So, yeah, we cut back to who we find out right now is the actual marshal. The dude wakes up while Jack's doing surgery.
Where is she?
Again.
So weird.
Much like the flight attendant. You're way too serious about your job, my guy. Where is she?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like,
he went full Christian Bale Batman.
Where's Rachel?
Not like, what happened? Where are we? Where is she? Very weird.
Saeed is incredible at math. Can we just talk about that?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah,
holy shit. What he did in his head, I couldn't do with a calculator.
It took me a while to even know what he was talking about.
I knew what he was doing when he was like talking it out, but I was like, he's really going to do that math in his head?
Mm-hmm. No, that's not. That's, no, he's not.
That's big.
Yeah, so they get to the top of the mountain. They go to check the radio. They've got one bar of signal. They're getting feedback, so they can't send a message
because there's feedback. What if they found a bar?
They'd start curling it.
And it was just like, no, it was like
Smokey like a Joe's. Restaurant. Yeah. It's like, welcome to Smokey Joe's.
My immediate thought was a Willy Wonka chocolate bar with the golden ticket.
Well, I love how we all went different bars with that.
Different. I was like, Oompa
Steve
Loompas?
Started curling. You thought chocolate bar. And I thought,
not just chocolate bar. Willy Wonka Oompa Loompa chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the watering hole. We got a nice sarsaparilla.
Or they find a bar with Willy Wonka chocolate bars in it, and there's a gym right next door. Mm-hmm.
They call it a mini mall.
The three food court. But yes.
But yeah, there's a transmission already being broadcast that's kind of interfering with theirs. So
that's
they
why
lock,
there's feedback. Yeah.
They lock into the signal, and it's in French. And they're like, oh, who speaks French? But Shannon does.
Do you think
Shannon
Enza turned it off right then?
Oh, she's like, oh, fuck this show. The French, I'm out. No, thank you.
Because our wine is too rich for English belly.
This is Mr. French Arc. I have been abandoned on this island for very long, approximately 16 years and several months.
And I would very much like
to. We have found a way to get the French Orc back onto this show. Madison is very confused because she does not know this character.
I don't know anything. What's going on?
That's the French Orc.
I love it.
From the Rings of Power.
For those of you who listen to our Rings of Power coverage, yeah. You know the French Orc.
6,000 people are so happy right now.
Let's be honest, 3,000.
Some of those episodes popped off. Yeah, so they're speaking French and everybody's yelling. And Shannon supposedly speaks French, right? And there's a funny interaction because Boone's like, she's like, I don't speak French. She's like, you lived in Paris for a year. And she's like, I was partying, not studying. He's like, yeah, but you were talking to people. And it's like, it's really funny, like tense argument. Mm-hmm. But it's also frustrating because you know that you should be listening to the message. And even as a viewer, you're like, shh.
Yeah. He's,
you know,
especially when a redneck guy keeps popping off on him. It's like, dude, yeah, shut up.
Definitely you shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't even know where France is, my guy.
That's where we get the fries.
That's where we got these cigarettes. That's where we get the fries. And it's, well, I think at this point in the show's history, it's their freedom fries.
Their freedom fries, yeah. Yeah. Forgot about that. What a weird time that was.
But the message is on a loop is what Saeed's realizing. And slowly Shannon does kind of calm down and believe in herself and starts to translate. Please help me. Please come get me. I'm alone now on the island alone. The others, they're dead. It killed them. It killed them all. And then, which if that's not dark and foreboding enough, Saeed says, all right, I've been doing the math. Because
in my head,
every iteration,
it's a 30-second loop.
And every iteration has a count number to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he did like the number times 30 seconds and how many days that equals, right? And he came up with 16 years and 5 months of iterations that message has been transmitting. And the implication is that they're still stuck there, or else why would it be transmitting? Mm-hmm. And then the episode ends. Charlie. Where are we? And then it goes, lost. That's where the fuck you are.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun.
I love it.
Like, it's so... It's hard to explain because it's, I feel like if a show like this was to exist now, I think the context of it being in 2004 is what makes it so much better. Like, I think if a show like this came out now, it would be kind of like cringy, but the fact that it's coming out, like,
it would still crush though.
I think it would.
Like
it,
those shows like Manifest and stuff on Netflix. Sure. People love that shit.
Yeah. But I was pumped after watching this and I watched it twice.
You did.
I was so pumped.
So that's the end of the episode. You guys are pumped to see the next one. You're still riding honestly, high. Like I said, I'm lost.
It's upsetting to me that I can't just watch all of season one in a day.
Yeah,
I could and then just go, but no, that would ruin my reactions. So I can't.
Mm. But can I say? So I watch it on Hulu, and Chris, it sounds like you do as well.
I do now. Yeah, I remember I watched the first one on Freevee,
and I'm still getting like commercials in the middle of the episodes. Yeah. And it kind of is very nostalgic and I kind of like it, yeah. Honestly, because it helps me keep like,
oh, you've got the free version of Hulu?
Cat up on my notes. What is it?
No, it's not free. It's like $6.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For the commercial.
I have the non-commercial.
Yeah. I have the ad-free Hulu as well.
Oh, must be nice.
Are they using the real commercial break spots though?
I think so. Because I haven't seen any like very odd breaks in the show.
Like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Welcome back to Tide Pod. You know, it's a terrible spot to put an ad.
Welcome back to Tide Pods.
I didn't do a good commercial. I didn't do a good commercial skit impression, Steve. Mm. Way to call attention to it. Welcome back to Tide Pods. This is a great commercial. I'm good at writing ad copy. Steve, take us home with Bitch Please.
Beach,
all right?
Please.
Bring us back.
This is Beach Please.
Did I say bitch?
You did say that.
Just bleep that. Bleep that in post.
The segment is called Beach Please because they're on a beach. But this is the segment of the show where I kind of dive into the trivia about the specific episode that we just watched. And this is pilot part two. Are you guys ready to dive in to some trivia?
Beach Learn Please. Some things? Yes, I am.
All right, so the first one is a little bit of a correction. Not so much a correction, it's an oversight on my part from last episode, but it still fits for this one. And a lot of people wrote in for this very specific bit of trivia, and I loved it. I was ashamed of myself that I did not know this, but a bunch of people wrote in. But I'm going to read specifically Chris's email, not this Chris, a different Chris. Mm. Very cool person named Chris. They write...
Unlike ours.
They write, hi, Steve, because all of our lost correspondence has been titled Steve's Eyes Only.
I appreciate that.
Several people have had that subject line. Please continue that if you were talking about spoilers so that Chris and Madison do not actually accidentally get spoiled. But Chris writes, hi, Steve. This isn't actually a spoiler or anything, but felt it might be something fun for you to reveal on the show for Beach Please. In honor of you having Steve the dog from Yellow Jackets, which may not actually be an honor since we don't know what happened to him and Thaisa does not have a good track record with dogs, I wanted to point out a Lost-related dog name tie-in to the pod. The dog who plays Vincent on the show is in real life named Madison.
Aww.
Aww.
Anyways, love the coverage. Pumped for more, Chris. But yeah, the dog is actually named Madison.
Madison's represent.
Yeah, stand up.
I finally got a nickname because we're tight. I can't call you son. That was just a joke. I can call you Vincent. In like a weird flippy flip.
You can call me Vince. How about that?
Vinny?
Vince.
Hey, dog.
Hey, dog. But only you are allowed to call me Vince.
Can I call you Vinny?
Sure. I like that.
I can't call you Vinny?
You can call me Vinny if you want. No,
thanks.
Just wait a...
Thanks, Vinny.
Get a muscle on. You broke it in!
All right, our next bit of trivia on Beach, please. Walt is reading a comic book, right? Uh-huh. He is reading Green Lantern / Flash Faster Than Friends issue number 1. The reason why that's kind of a... Probably the reason why that's in there as an Easter egg is because that is an issue of that comic where a polar bear appears.
Oh.
Neat Easter egg.
I like that. That's cool.
The case that hits the Marshall and busts him open, it's kind of a fun little behind the scenes, that case is actually made of rubber. It's not actually a hard case, because why would you hit an actor with that?
Yeah.
But they had put like a bunch of tubes, breakable tubes, in his hairline and hit it so that when it, when the rubber case hits him, blood. He can start bleeding immediately.
That's great.
So that's kind of a
fun like shocking looking.
Yeah, it looked really good. Like he just started gushing immediately. Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah. The flashback on the plane with Kate and the fire marshal was actually Evangeline Lilly's first day of shooting for the show. She actually had a really bad issue with, because she's Canadian, so she needed to get an American working visa to work on the show in Hawaii. Oh. And apparently she had a lot of trouble getting her visa. So it actually made, when they were shooting the whole show, they had to push back all of the scenes involving Kate to be shot last, because she could not fly down there because of this visa issue. And the day it was finally approved was the same day. They're like, here's your visa. She flew down to start filming that very same day.
I thought you were going to say they had to film her in a plane because it was like a neutral zone. It like wasn't an actual
for international waters.
Didn't matter if she was on the beach. She was like in the air. Terrible.
Well, remember, there's all the plane scenes are on the same plane that they shot Soul Plane on.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Snakes on a Plane. I made that up.
That would be cool, though.
That would be cool.
That's what they get, because Canada's notoriously hard to get into.
All plane scenes are filmed on the same set.
Just one plane for everybody to borrow.
Yep.
And there was another listener that wrote in with a bunch of stuff. Their name is Stefan. Stefan. Let me know if I am...
Good one, Vinny.
If I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, Stefan or Steven. But they wrote a really, really long email. It was very, very great. A lot of great stuff in it. I kind of want to pull from more stuff of it later on. But they did write in a little bit, because last week I said Lloyd Braun greenlit the pilot, and it was so expensive he got fired. And apparently Stefan loves Lost so much that they have created a very long documentary series on YouTube.
Wow.
And I kind of checked out a little. I didn't have time this week to really deep dive into it. I'm going to do that this week. But I saw like the first couple minutes of the first episode. Really well produced. I'm going to link his series in the show notes if you guys want to check that out. Looks really great. But he wrote in kind of saying like, hey, the Lloyd Braun thing is a little bit of an urban legend. He didn't really get fired for greenlighting the show. The situation back then was much more complex. He left ABC, but he more or less quit himself and had nothing to do with the budget. Some article just claimed that he was fired for that many, many years ago, and because people repeated it again and again, people take it to be true. So yeah, it's not really true.
Right.
So I just wanted to point that out. They also had, like I said, a bunch of great stuff in there. I will link their documentary in the show notes for you guys, but I wanted to give them a shout out because I thought they sent in a very detailed and a chock full of information email that I appreciated.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So that ends
Beach Please.
Beach Please.
Now it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments from the episode. Madison, a.k.a. Vinny. What's your number three?
I got to say, like, I had a lot. There were a lot of moments in this one that I was very excited for. And it was very hard to pinpoint my top three. But I landed on these three. My number three is when Hurley passed out during Jack's surgery. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Again, I think Hurley is one of the more relatable characters on the show. And just, you know, Jack's trying to be this like heroine guy, and it just, Hurley's just, you know, being realistic, and it's like, I can't deal with the blood. And it was just a very funny comedic scene. So. So I like that one.
Yeah, it was a very good scene. Steve, what's your number three?
My number three is actually the flashback scene with Kate.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because it's really like a great example of how you can use flashbacks to reveal surprises that you don't necessarily see coming. And the way it's written in is very, very perfectly, because you don't know. They kind of set Kate up. You know, she was sitting next to the shrapnel guy. So you know that about her. You kind of get this feeling that she's not exactly who she seems. They introduce the handcuffs. There's this whole like, who has the handcuffs? And it's like, oh, it's definitely redneck guy, right?
Right.
Like, it's definitely that dude. He seems shady. But no, it's Kate, the last person you would really expect it to be. And not only does it reveal that, but it also reveals like, yeah, it might be Kate, but she's still a good person. Mm-hmm. She's still trying to help the dude that's arrested her.
Yeah.
That scene does a lot for her as a character. And this is the first time I think the flashbacks really go above and beyond in servicing the story and the character development of the people in the modern day. And that's a trend that's going to continue for the rest of the series. And that's why I really, really like this scene.
Yeah, my number three is also Hurley, but it's when he denies the food from Jen. I just thought it's such a small moment, but his character really opened up in this episode among many others. And I loved it so much. He's so, because he's like pretty rude about it, honestly. But that's also at that point, you're like, fuck this guy anyway, because he just denied the food to his wife and stuff. So yeah. It's just, even though Hurley's so nice and you wouldn't expect him to be that way, he's also not being, he's just being honest, you know, like, nah, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it was so lovable. And I could already tell how much I'm going to love this guy going forward. That was my number three. Madison, what's your number two?
My number two was Sawyer whipping out the gun and shooting the polar bear. I don't know why, but it just completely...
You're pro-hunting.
It just caught me...
Pro big game hunting, Madison,
no.
Yeah.
It just, it really caught me by surprise. And again, I don't want to say I went into the show with like... Well, okay. I did go into the show as like preconceived notions of like what I was going to experience. And then to be completely shifted and pivoted in different ways that I wasn't anticipating. And this was definitely one of them. Like, I was genuinely shocked that this happened. And so just from pure like shock value, I was like, yeah, this is a good scene. Which is why I chose it to be my number two.
Good choice. The polar bear is one of the most like quintessential mysteries of the show. Like,
yeah,
I think when people talk about lost mysteries, the polar bear thing is one of the things that people bring up first. Like, what was that polar bear all about?
Right.
But my number two is the backgammon scene with Walt and Orange Face Scar Guy. I think so. I am going into the show with a different perspective. Like, I know where the show's going. I know what it is. So it's kind of fun to go back and watch it from the beginning, knowing where it ends and seeing things kind of start and play out. And this scene in particular is really, really interesting because A, it does a lot with building Walt and Michael's relationship, like you mentioned, Chris. It adds a little bit more mystique to Orange Face Scar Guy because he's completely separated from everyone so far. Like, he's probably the character we've had the least amount of time with. And every time we do kind of interact with him, he's very mysterious. Like, there's something going on with him.
Yeah, he's like a wizard.
He knows something that the others don't. Like, he tells Walt, like, hey, you want to know a secret? Like, what is that secret?
Yeah.
But then
you
his whole...
You
want
to see a dead body?
I've seen several, sir. Yeah.
You want to know how to play backgammon?
Not really, but secret. I'm bored. But yeah, he gets on this little tirade, like, you know, it's a game about two sides, light and dark. Mm-hmm. And knowing where the show goes, it's kind of funny. Like, wow, this is a very important scene in terms of like what the show becomes and what it is. And it's just kind of fun to kind of see its humble beginnings rooted in this one little scene with Orange Face Scar Guy and Walt about to play backgammon. It's really killing me that I can't call him his real name.
Well, buckle up. I'm going to call him the Orange Peel Guy for the rest of the show.
As long as you can.
I can.
My number two is also the polar bear scene. I think it was so many surprises all at once. Obviously, the fact that it's a fucking polar bear is wild. But also, we didn't know the redneck guy had a gun. And everything escalated very quickly. And, you know, from a scene of them arguing as they've been doing all episode. So it's the first taste that I got of the bonkers shit that people say about Lost, right? Like, it's like monsters snatching somebody out of a plane. That's your run of the mill everyday horror, right? Like, creature feature type thing. You know, they're jumping the shark, normal stuff, but it's a polar bear in the jungle, Steve.
The fuck?
That's not where they go.
And they're no.
Global warming has really hurt this creature.
Spot on.
Yeah, love that scene. Madison, what's your favorite moment of this excellent episode?
My favorite moment, I think, is Chris, your number three, which was when, you know, it is revealed that Kate was the one in handcuffs. Again, complete surprise to me. Was not anticipating that. And I'm usually really good about interpreting signs or like anything throughout a show and kind of coming to the conclusion of like what the twist is and all that stuff.
Sniffing threads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finney's got
and
a nose.
So I've been very impressed.
Finney's
by,
got a nose.
I don't know. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe I need to retire my plot twist instincts, but I feel like the show has done a really good job at presenting these twists and turns in a very, like, they're not random, but they're also not, I don't know, like, fakey, like cringy, like you're just like, it's a very satisfying twist.
Yeah, it's not like a Riverdale thing.
Right, right. And so to have this reveal that Kay is the one in handcuffs, and then to kind of backtrack and look at her character, and, you know, which is why I think she's a little sus, because she, you know, was fine with having all these people come with her. You know, is she this kind of villainous character that's like, oh, I don't actually care about these people. They're just going to be there to kind of, you know, protect me. You know, that's kind of what I'm interpreting. She could very well not be this character, but it definitely, as an audience member, I'm like looking back at all the things that she's done, her motives, potential motives with the people around her. And I think, you know, her motives with the shrapnel guy, you know, I can't tell if she wants him to survive or not. You know, like I like it. It was a good reveal to kind of zoom out and look at this character's previous actions with the other characters.
She's definitely got an Optimus Prime vibe, you know, more than meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Autobots, we have to get on top of the mountain. Let's roll out.
They're French.
Oh, God. Blaster set to kill.
The Star Trek mixed with Transformers?
So let's shag ass.
Yes.
Steve, what was your number one favorite moment?
Oh, my number one favorite moment was the last moment of the episode. The guys, where are we scene? Just because
it's good.
It's a great way to get all these characters together. They're trying to solve a problem. And I love that shit when you get an ensemble cast together and they're working through together and they get their individual moments to shine. Shannon speaks French, so she is able to interpret. And then you got the tension of Sawyer and all these other people interrupting. But the battery might die any second. We need to know what they're saying. And just the reveal that, oh, someone's been here presumably for 16 years, never got saved. We're in a very dire situation. And then just that last shot of Charlie is going, guys, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
Like that moment for whatever reason gets me so hyped. Like, where are they? Indeed. I want to know. Lost. Next episode. Hit it. But we can't hit it.
I couldn't hit it. I wanted to.
Yeah.
We had to quit it.
My favorite moment of the episode was the backgammon scene with Walt and whatever his name is, Orange Peel guy. I just thought there's so much mystique to that character, and it's almost as if maybe he wasn't even on the plane. Maybe he's just
there
walking the beach, and he's such a goofball. He just picked up an orange and was like,
"Oh, hey, neighbors!"
Yeah, yeah. Hey. That's the vibe
he's
that he gives
me. The French woman that's been there for 16 and a half years.
When he finally talks, oui, oui.
Je m'appelle Orange Peel guy.
Je m'appelle.
Bonjour.
He pulls like a Mission Impossible, like rips his face off and reveals a French lady, like, hello, did you get my signal? My message is on the repeat.
Goodness.
That's my favorite moment. Which brings us to the Passenger Princess Award, our favorite performance of the episode. Madison, who are you nominating?
Again, very hard to choose. I want to say six names laid out in front of me of potential people to give this award to.
Mm.
But who do you pick? I ended up choosing, and I hope I say her name correctly, Yeonjun Kim, who plays Sun.
Excellent choice.
I think the scenes between her and her husband are very intense and strange. And I think, I'm sure directing those scenes, there's a lot for us to interpret that's not being said or that is being said, just from like her body language. And I really enjoy the juxtaposition between her and Kate's character, and just you're picking up that there's a lot more there than what's being shown. And I think as an actress, that is really difficult to portray. And I'm sure there's a lot of elements, you know, Chris, you kind of alluded to this as well. It's like, I'm sure there's some cultural elements to like kind of hold and represent there as well. And I just think she did a really good job in embodying all of those different things. But yeah, she was my choice. But like I said, it was tough. But I think too, a lot of the other people I had listed are going to be prime characters that we can highlight later. So
yeah, that's a great choice. I didn't see that coming. I love it.
That is an excellent choice, Madison.
Steve?
I picked Harold Perrineau. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but
Perrineau.
Perrineau. Is it Perrineau?
I assume.
Perrineau.
Harold. The man who plays Michael. I think what he's doing as this estranged father who's trying to keep it together, who's trying to connect with his estranged son, but it's still technically a secret to everyone else, including mm-hmm. the audience, that they are estranged. Like, I think he's doing a great job acting that out. Like, just that scene where Jack's like, how old is your kid? And he's just like, he's 9, 10. Like, that quick, no, I'm wrong. He's mm-hmm. 10. Like, very convincing as somebody who is just doing their best, but maybe hasn't been doing their best before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm giving it to him. A really, really understated, subtle performance that I quite enjoyed.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to Naveen Andrews, who plays Saeed.
He was my number two.
Yeah. I'm really glad we all got three different choices here. Excellent picks. I just think his...
None of us, everybody.
We're not everybody.
We're not everybody.
So three. It could have been a toss up, I think, for any of us to choose any of these people, but they're all crushing it. Very excited to see where this goes moving forward. And let's cap it all off. Let's end things here with Lost and Found.
Ooh.
Keeping track of the mysteries. And I don't remember last week.
So I wrote down all the ones last week.
Okay.
So let's go through the ones last week and see if any of them were answered, and we can take them off, and then we can go into the new ones we're adding this week.
Okay.
All right. So we had, what is Vincent the dog doing? Do we know what he's doing yet?
We still don't.
Don't know.
Don't know.
I believe I made a joke about this last week that I would forget what this meant, and I have forgotten what it's meant. Hopefully you guys remember what this is. Who is the quarterback?
Oh, the father of the baby for Claire. Because you guys were trying to figure out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who is the baby daddy?
Yeah. You had a whole conversation about... something receiver. And
oh, you called it the receiver.
Yeah.
And I made a joke about it earlier in the show, and neither of you reacted. And I was like, wow.
I forgot the receiver. Did you make a receiver joke?
Yes, I did. Clearly,
I don't think that's a mystery,
intellectually
though. I think I said last week that's none of our business. But I mean that really. Like, I don't think it's legitimately a show mystery. I don't. Mm-hmm. Like, just want to put that on record.
Who's the father of the baby?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's like, I mean, sure.
It's some fucking nosy. Australian dude.
I'm nosy. I want to know.
One of the Hemsworths, almost guaranteed.
True.
Should I take it off
Thor.
The list then?
It's Thor in there.
It's a Hemsworth. Baby, should I take it off the list?
I think so.
Okay. All right. I want to take it off the list. All right.
Solved. None of our biz.
Orange Mouth. Orange Mouth Man, question mark. What's his whole deal?
Yeah, I think that's still a mystery.
Still on there.
What's his deal? Let's see. Where is the rest of the plane? We know where the front part is, the cockpit is, but where's the rest of it?
Well, it looks like
what happened to the plane?
The back of the plane fell in the middle of the ocean, right? Because that's the scene with Kate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can assume that the plane.
We still don't know what happened to the plane.
Yeah, let's keep what happened to the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the monster? Still don't know what that is.
Nope.
Kind of answered. It was a polar bear.
You think the monster was a polar bear?
I think a portion of the monster was the polar bear.
So you think the monster has more than
the monster?
Component.
Hold on. Let me handle this, Steve.
Okay, you got this. But
monster was a polar bear. You think?
So you think polar bears?
I think a portion of the monster is a polar bear.
I don't think it's what killed the pilot. Though.
No, I don't think it's what killed the pilot. But I think it's an element of the danger that is there.
Sure,
but
sure.
But we can leave that on.
There's like a fucking portal, or. Like a nexus of time. Like, I wonder if they're going to run into like an old 1800s hunter, like Jumanji style or something.
What year is it?
That would be cool. It's Robin Williams from Jumanji just chilling
amazing.
In the woods.
I wish.
Yeah.
One of the mysteries we had last week was, what is Charlie doing on the plane? I feel like we can answer that.
Drugs.
Yeah. He's doing drugs.
Dope.
Drugs.
And that's what we have from last week. What are the mysteries you would like to add to the Lost and Found list?
What is Kate's crimes, right?
Yeah.
What
are Kate's crimes?
Kate's crimes. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. I have, what is the secret that the orange peel guy told Walt?
Mm. Mm. I'm gonna add an addendum to what's his deal. What's his secret?
Secret to Walt. The French people.
Yeah.
Which are always a mystery to me.
Why are there French people?
Why are French people?
That's a good question.
Who is the French woman? And then why is there a polar bear in the woods?
Yeah, we gotta put. Does a bear shit in the woods? Now we know.
Mm. Why is there a polar bear on the island? I kind of wrote who made the SOS. That kind of goes into the French people question.
Yes. I think so. And
I also wrote, where are they? Because that's literally what Charlie asked at the very end.
Yeah. That is the new mystery.
That is a mystery.
Okay. Any other mysteries we should add to Lost and Found?
I have nothing appropriate to say.
Well, now I want to know what is inappropriate, to say.
No.
Is this another bonk. Drapes issue? Is this a bonk issue?
Yes.
Bonk.
Bonk, horny jail.
To horny jail with you. I thought Madison was going to be the horny jail one for Evangeline Lilly.
That's
on
why
the show.
I felt comfortable being so honest today, because last week, I'll have the listeners fucking know, before we turn the mics on, Madison was like,
"Oh, I was down
forgive
pat.
Me for how horny I'm about to be for Evangeline
big time.
Lilly.
Big time.
So, because she had watched both episodes last week illegally, so she had seen the panties. And so this week, I waltz in like, Madison, I get it.
It had simmered.
She's really hot. And she's like, ew.
No, that's not what happened.
A weirdo.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
No, I've had time to simmer and to digest the scene
sure.
in a more mature way.
You served
it's
your time
real
in horny
fresh
jail.
In your brain.
Uh-huh. But it was midnight.
I'm not denying that it was a very late night.
No. It was literally midnight.
Wow.
It was literally midnight. When I watched it, I was tired.
Bonk.
But no, you'll see more horny Vinny later.
Oh man,
that's your horny personality. Yeah. Vinny's here.
Vinny's coming out.
She draws a little mustache and goes, "Hey,
what's up, guys?"
She starts pinching butts, throwing dollars.
Show me your bosom.
Who wants to bathe in the ocean?
Vinny do.
Vinny's dirty. He's dirty.
He needs to wash off in that ocean.
Well, if anyone's still listening, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our Mission Impossible coverage last Monday, and you really dug our Patreon pick yesterday. Crossing Streams on Tuesday, which will be different every week. Stay tuned tomorrow. Steve and Phil will be back talking about Strange New Worlds.
Let's shag ass, guys.
Shagging ass.
Listeners will know what that means.
Shag ass.
If you can't support the show with patronage, we understand. You can take a moment to rate and review the show wherever you're listening. Share it with your friends. Don't forget, you can email anytime at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming. When you hit the mic, that sounded amazing. It sounded like the music was kicking in. Doing, ding, doink.
You're welcome.
It sounded like bass. I was like, fuck yeah. What, Steve got some new shit cooking? Oh, wait, that was Madison.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.